You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
God has called out to our country in various ways, through sages, through signs, through strains. He has called out to us through preachers and promptings and problems. But like Israel, America has been stubborn, determined to murder the unborn, determined to live in decadence, determined to erase God from our history. As we cling to the simple truth,
cultural currents may attempt to scrub faith from public life, rewriting history and silencing conviction. But in today's message, Pastor Dion reminds you that you're called to guard against this erasure by nurturing biblical literacy, speaking the truth with humility, and living a transformed life. Equip your mind through study, your heart through prayer, and your community through intentional fellowship. When believers lovingly yet firmly stand for God's reality, efforts to diminish Him lose their persuasive power. Now let's join Pastor Dion in the book of Isaiah chapter 5 with today's edition of The Simple Truth.
Israel founded their national and spiritual lives on God's word, and God blessed them above and beyond. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, right? But over time in the Old Testament, Israel became distracted, disconnected, and then depraved. God called out to them for decades, sending prophet after prophet. He sent Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah. God sent them signs, sent Israel sign after sign. But Israel ignored them all. So God gave Jeremiah a word of judgment. Let's go ahead and read it. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at verse 23. But this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all of my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. This is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Cut off your hair and cast it away and take up a lamentation on the desolate heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it, and they have built the high places which is in the valley of the sons of Hinnom to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire which I did not command, nor did it come to my heart. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet, of the valley of the sons of Hinnom, where they were sacrificing their children, but it'll be called the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Tophet until there is no more room, and the corpse of this people will be food for the birds of heaven and the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth or happiness and the voice of gladness, the joy of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Jeremiah went and gave that declaration. And then a little while later, God sent Jeremiah back to the same people. God sent Jeremiah with an illustrated sermon that you couldn't miss. Jeremiah took a clay pot to the State of the Union address, raised it over his head, and smashed it on the ground, and then boldly prophesied this. In Jeremiah chapter 19 and verse 11, he said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again." God pronounced his judgment that he would give Israel what they had been fighting for, independence from him, independence from God, freedom from his laws, his principles, and even his presence. That's what you want. God said, I will pronounce that. I will give you that. In fact, God even said, he called them the generation of his wrath, the generation of his judgment. America, like Israel, began with God's blessing because our founding fathers chose to establish us on the same biblical principles. But like Israel, we began to be distracted, disconnected, and now our generation is in full-fledged desertion. Antichrists. Everybody say it out loud. What? Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is pumping through America's veins. John in his epistle said it like this. 1 John chapter 4 verse 2 says, "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Read the rest out loud with me. "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." The spirit of Antichrist both denies and despises God. I think the drag queens dancing all over the Christ on the cross at Dodger Stadium qualifies. Removing Christ from Christmas and making a big X. Taking God's name out of the national anthem. Or how about the after-school program that the Satanic Temple is allowed to host in elementary schools, where they teach children that the God of the Bible is strict, jealous, angry, and mean because he doesn't let you love who you want to love. Talking about the gay agenda. He creates you gay and then punishes you for it. That's what they're teaching in the elementary school, endorsed and sanctioned by the education department. America is putting God in the rearview mirror and not looking back, moving backward, not forward. God spoke an awful warning to Israel through Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 5, verse 20 said it like this: judgment. Whoa, judgment to those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter, that boy is girl and girl is boy. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. Woe, judgment to those who are heroes of drinking wine and boast about all the alcohol they can hold. They take bribes to let the wicked go free and they punish the innocent. Therefore, just as a fire licks up stubble and dry grass shrivels in the flame, so their roots will rot and their flowers wither. For they have rejected the law of the Lord. They have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. God has called out to our country in various ways, through sages, through signs, through strains. He has called out to us through preachers and promptings and problems. But like Israel, America has been stubborn, determined to murder the unborn, determined to live in decadence, determined to erase God from our history. So God's left with no other choice but judgment. God's judgment is to leave America desolate like he did Israel. As in the days of Noah, God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. The only good thing about God's judgment is that God departs. The only thing about his departing is that God departs slowly. Ezekiel saw it in his prophecy. God's hope was that Israel would come to their senses and call out to him in repentance. God was leaving. It was part of his judgment. You want to be without me. You're determined to go your own way. You're pushing me out. I'm going to give you what you want. But in super slow-mo. Waiting that they might say they have a change of heart. God's judgment, God's departure, guys, is always in increments. He pulls away a little at a time, hoping that we will come to our senses. In fact, the Apostle Paul watched this happen to the Roman Empire, where God pulling away. And here is how he described it. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, here's what he said. But God shows his judgment from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth in their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned in lust for each other. Men did shameful things with each other. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them also. Paul was watching that happen before his eyes in the Roman Empire. See, so God's judgment was slow motion, stepping away from them a little bit at a time, leaving them to themselves a little at a time. And because they didn't repent, Rome grew darker and darker and more depraved until it imploded. Same with Israel. After reading that passage of scripture, there can be no doubt that God has slowly been leaving America. Has slowly been leaving the world. But don't fear. When God finally departs, he's taking all of his followers with him on the rapture. Right? Like God told the righteous remnant of the Jews in Jeremiah's day. Because there were a few who were holding on to God in spite of all that was going on. God told them this. He told the righteous remnant, For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, not for good and not for evil, plans for a future and a hope. That's what God has planned for you, right? But after the rapture, America will be godless, hopeless, helpless, and it will implode completely. As Christians in America, how are we supposed to react to the widespread defection from God, the widespread apostasy that we see? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Psalm chapter 11, verse 3. It says this, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, and his eyes see, his eyelids test the children of men. The Lord tests the righteous. When the foundations of our nation crumble or collapse, God is watching to see what we righteous people are standing on. Seeing if we will remain faithful, to see if we will continue to stand on him. It's kind of like that incident in the New Testament when Jesus gave an unpopular message and the crowd started to walk out on him. I mean, ours was not the first cancel culture, by the way. You know, people aren't convicted anymore. They're offended. Instead of being convicted, they started to walk away on Jesus' message. Jesus looked at his disciples and asked them. He asked them this in John chapter 6 and verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Listen, if America deteriorates, it's already happening. While America deteriorates and others defect from the Lord, it should have no effect on us Christians. No matter how they try to strip God out of our nation, no matter how they try to oppress or censor the message of Christ, no matter what goes on, no matter how America deteriorates and we see the nation apostasy, it should have no effect on us Christians. Don't panic, don't stress out, don't get discouraged, and don't be afraid. I love what St. Augustine said, as he looked at the ruins of his beloved city, Rome, after it had collapsed. St. Augustine said, "Whatever men build, men destroy. So let's go on building the kingdom of God, where men cannot tear it down, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." We can't save America, but we can save Americans, giving them the rock to stand on, which is Jesus Christ. It's Psalm 62:2. Read it out loud with me together. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. I hope so. And no matter what the world is going, what's going on in the world and what things are happening, I'm not founded on what happens. I'm not founded on America's economy. I'm not founded on American politics. What I'm founded on is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the foundation stone. He is my rock. And no matter what happens around me, I will not be moved. That's just the bottom truth. So I hope that has encouraged you. I know sometimes it's shocking to hear the things that are going on, and we almost want to plug our ears and say, "No, no, 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 please go away." Put our head in the sand. But guys, it's the truth of where we are. And you are the last living Christian generation before the rapture of the church. We are. Let's let our voices be heard. Let's let our faith shine. Let's share, let's shine, let's stimulate people for the love of God, giving them something to stand on, because they're looking at this world and they're thinking, I don't know what to do. They think it's hopeless, but you have something to give them, some stability. The very rock that you're standing on, you can share that rock with them and keep them. An eternal reward that they'll have. If you're here this morning, you're saying, you know, I've been one of those who's kind of disconnected from the Lord, even kind of deserted a little bit. The Lord's brought you back today, and here you are. Maybe you tuned in because somebody, you know, shared this video with you. And you're saying, I need to get back to the Lord and with the Lord. He forgives. He forgets. He separates us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. He plunges our sin into the depth of the sea, never to be remembered. And he restores us. And all you have to do is call out to him in repentance. So let's all do that together. For those who want to do that with it, let's stand up and let's pray out loud. Say, Father, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. I've ignored you. I have run from you. I've even fought you. But today I surrender. I repent from my sin and I turn to you. Ask you to forgive me. Wash me clean. I'm yours and you're mine. In Jesus' name, amen. For the rest of us Christians, we know what our faith is. And when you look at the news, whenever you do turn on the news, I don't recommend it. But when you do turn it on, listening to it on the radio, and you're hearing about all the stuff that's happening, you pray for our country. You pray for this world. You pray for people. You pray for the people who are involved in all this, the tragedy and stuff that's going on. But you remember that you are founded on a rock. And no matter what is happening around us, Jesus Christ is our foundation. And when it's all said and done, he's going to come and rescue you before it becomes a total mess. He'll leave America to itself. He'll leave the world to itself. But he's going to take that remnant with us. You have a future and a hope, a good one. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to smile on you this week and be gracious to you and give you peace. May the beauty of the Lord be upon you, and may he establish all the works of your hand. As we cling to the simple truth.
This has been The Simple Truth, a ministry of Pastor Dion Cordova at Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel in Española, New Mexico. How have you prepared your heart for Jesus' return? In this series called Living in the Last Days, Pastor Dion has shown several prophecies from across the Bible about the end times. Several books of the Bible warn of judgments and trials that will come in those final years. While it's easy to read about the things to come and feel afraid for the future, Pastor Dion wants you to be hopeful. Because even though terrible things will happen to this world and to those that reject the gift of Jesus' salvation, you and I have something to look forward to in the end times. As a follower of Jesus, there's a new heaven and new earth being prepared for you and for all those who have called on the name of the Lord to be saved. If you enjoyed today's message from The Simple Truth, we invite you to visit our website at tmcalvary.com. There you can find a link to our Facebook page and our YouTube channel for past teachings. You can also learn more about Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel on our website. Additionally, there's an option to give to this ministry if you feel led to support the ongoing work of The Simple Truth. And hey, if you're in Española, we would love to invite you to one of our Sunday services. We meet at both 9 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, and again at 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights for our weekly Bible study. Pastor Dion would like to thank you for taking some time to be fed by God's Word today. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of The Simple Truth. You're the one that we proclaim. We'll be full.
vessels for you as you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands and together we stand.
Together we stand.